Caleb Collier says that this proposal is meant to protect their Second Amendment rights.
I'm proposing that the city of Spokane Valley issue a proclamation stating that our city is a Second Amendment sanctuary city. Today on Church and State, I'll be addressing the controversy surrounding Let Us Worship. Hello, Christian patriots, and welcome to Church and State, where we strive to plug you into the pew and plug you into politics. And I'm your host, Caleb Collier, your favorite far-right shock jock. Yes, thank you once again for joining us. I do appreciate you all tuning in, and I'll tell you, I'm getting a lot more of the left that is tuning into the shows. I keep getting contacted by media as of late. In fact, I'm currently fielding calls from the Inlander and from Range Media, and we'll get to that in just a minute here. Before I begin the show, I once again am always going to push you over to churchandstate.media. It is our website where you can download all of our episodes. Please continue to share. We are being effective, and that's really the intent behind creating alternative media like what you have right here. You can also take advantage of all of our great affiliates, and we've got some great ones out there. We really do. Products that I use on a consistent basis. And I'll tell you this, the stuff that we have on our website that you can order and we get a small portion of that is stuff that I believe in. I'm not going to put stuff on here that I disagree with, because it's really my stamp of approval. And I'm not going to do that to my audience to where I'm pushing a product that doesn't actually deliver. So if you want great pillows or slippers or whatever, go on over to Mike Lindell. Go over to my pillow and use that promo code Church and State. If you want good quality education for your children, head on over to the Tuttle Twins. I guarantee you, you're not going to be disappointed in the books that you're going to be reading to your children. Your children are going to ultimately read to themselves. It's fantastic products. My Patriot Supply has got some of the best storable food you can possibly use. And then, of course, and I'll address this on the next episode, but with this new COVID variant, are you ready to panic? You got to get some of this Z-Stack stuff, okay? You got to make sure that your body is healthy in order to combat naturally what they're going to throw at us. All right. If you want to donate to us, you've got a donate button now. You can also throw some Bitcoin at us if you'd like as well. And so please go to churchandstate.media and support us as we support the patriot cause and the Christian cause. All right. If you'd like to get a hold of us, churchandstate1776@proton.me. As always, I love getting your emails. Let's get into this episode. It's been an interesting week for me, I'll tell you. I must be doing something right, because the attacks have been coming. Last Thursday, I ended up getting rear-ended. I was at a full stop and got rear-ended. I was like, oh my gosh, okay. I'm okay. Nobody else was with me. My car's a little beat up, but, you know, get through that. And then I haven't been sharing this on social media or anything like that, but Friday we were displaced because of the fire, one of the fires here in Spokane County. And so I have not been in my house for a little while now. Thankfully today it is raining. That's the first time you are ever going to hear me thank Hillary for anything, but I am today. Thank you, Hillary, for sending some rain. Excuse me. Of course, I'm kidding there. But still, it's awesome that it's raining, and these fires have been massive. And there's a lot of evidence. In fact, there's some people that have been caught trying to start fires in the Spokane area. Of course, all over the world, there's fires right now. And you really got to question, you know, what's going on here. And honestly, I'm going to point to the Marxists, because a lot of them just want to see the world burn. And I guarantee you that some of these fires, perhaps not all of them, but some of these fires have been started by the radical left, who want to burn down the existing nations and recreate this global world that they envision is going to be this peaceful utopia. And it's never the case. And then, of course, there's always the Dew weapons that keep coming up as well, these direct energy weapons, which there's a lot of evidence that points specifically to the Maui fire, that this is what occurred there. So we got to be watching what these globalists, these nasty elitists are doing to us, and with the understanding that they want to attack the rural zones specifically because they want to push us into city centers, these 15-minute cities. We're easy to control when we are in the city. This is why our founding fathers despised these metropolises and why Thomas Jefferson specifically wanted an agrarian society. Okay, so that's where we're at right now. Okay, so I appreciate prayers that these fires would go out. I'd be able to go back to my home. But in the meantime, we've had a lot going on within the so-called Christian nationalism front. It's so scary. Where's my... There you go. Yeah. So terrifying. These Christian nationalists. And once again, you've heard me speak about this so many times because... these two words put together, they're the next reference for the left when they try to disparage us, right? And we've all been called names before. We've been called racists and sexists and xenophobes and homophobes and all these different things. And it's all designed to put us back on our heels, to have a defensive posture in here. The Christian nationalism one isn't working so well because what is the opposite of that? Would I rather be a Christian nationalist or a satanic globalist? That's the question that you need to ask yourselves. And so when they try to claim that this, especially now that they're introducing the white side of this as well, so now they're white Christian nationalists, you've got to reject that as Christian patriots because it doesn't hold any water. Right? Don't let them control the narrative. Don't let them instill fear into your heart to where you don't want to be called this, so you don't engage. You've got to engage, especially now as we're examining everything that's going on culturally. You Christians in particular, you've got to engage. All right? Because if you don't, we lose the country. And if we lose the country, we lose the world. Okay, we've always, as Americans, we've always been the number one country that is engaged in the Great Commission. We send more missionaries out to other nations than any other country in the world. We spend more money on preaching the gospel than any other country in the world. And that's not something you want to lose. And if you look at all of the other nations around the world, it's rather difficult to be a Christian. This is something that is unique to America, is how easy it is to be a Christian. And perhaps that's one of the problems that we have. Is that it's so easy to be a Christian. You see massive revival occurring in all of these communist nations across the world. But in America, you see a woke church. You see, it sounds kind of strange to say, but you see a woke church and you see an asleep church. Right? But that's what's going on nowadays, is that Christianity has lost its vigor in America anyway. And so when you see these groups like TPUSA Faith, like Sean Foyt and Let Us Worship, who are calling for Christians to get engaged, well, you can expect attacks. And that's what's going on right now, is there's a lot of attacks directed to us. Why? Because we're dangerous. Dangerous in the most positive way. We're dangerous because we fundamentally oppose their belief systems. We fundamentally oppose what they're trying to enact at the global level. We are the ones that if we band together and actually stand up and fight against this and return to God's will and his laws, then they will not be successful. And that's why they attack us on a constant basis. I recently sat down with an individual who I actually like, and I know he watches this show. Now, we don't agree on a lot, but it's a reporter now from the range. And, you know, I'm not even going to say his name because I do like him. And I'm praying for him. And I told him that the last time I met with him. He grew up in a Christian household. He's an atheist now. But I don't believe that God's done with this individual. And so I'm going to continue to pray for him. And I would actually ask for the audience to continue to pray for this individual. Just say, I pray for the range reporter. That's all you need to do. And God can touch this individual. I firmly believe that. But I sat down with him, and he wanted to discuss Kingdom to the Capital. Now, I actually invited him personally to attend the Olympia Kingdom to the Capital, and sure enough, he was there. And he was writing about what his observations were as far as the Kingdom to the Capital event in Olympia. Now, in text messages that him and I engaged in post article, I told him, let me back up. Before the article, when I first met with him, I said, look, I've always had the perspective that I will talk to the media. Now, I differ from some individuals in the Patriot level that won't talk with the media. I do. But I always preface it by saying this. Look, I'm going to talk to you so long as you quote me accurately. I don't expect your article to be pro-TPUSA faith or pro-church and state or anything like that. But if you quote me accurately, I will talk to you. And as soon as you don't, that relationship is severed. And so this individual did quote me accurately, and I tip my hat to him for that. Thank you. Honestly, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for quoting me accurately. We will continue to talk. But the article is designed to attack us. And I expected this from Range Media. They're a local rag that I don't approve of whatsoever. But in the article, they talk about the fact that it's the event, the Kingdom to the Capitol event, is designed to be like a rock concert. And that's simply not the case. What you're experiencing there is Christians that are excited to worship Jesus. And so for somebody viewing it from the secular world or the secular mindset, yeah, they're going to see this and they're going to see a bunch of excited Christians dancing and worshiping God, and they're going to view it as a rock concert. And that's just not the case. Can we not be excited about the fact that we're redeemed, that we're saved? I would expect Christians to be excited about that. So there's one issue that I wanted to address immediately. He also, of course, brings up the shofar and the fact that this has become a political symbol for the religious right, one that we're supposed to, we're using it to oppose tyranny. What's wrong with that? Don't we all have our symbols? Don't you, as Marxists, love your hammer and sickles? So can you oppose Christians for claiming the shofar, claiming the cross? Is there anything wrong with this whatsoever? The answer is, of course, no. Symbols have meaning. And so if we want to claim the shofar as an ancient weapon against the tyranny that we're currently seeing, then so be it. I don't have a problem with that at all. And I will say this. Perhaps we should have more people that actually knew how to play it. You know what I'm talking about. You know, a lot of times when people grab that shofar, it's like, it's terrible. All right. I've heard people that can actually play the shofar, and it's awesome. It's a great musical instrument when people know how to actually play it. All right. Of course, he says that Sean Foyt, his trailer, it plays like a Michael Bay film. And you know what? Shouldn't we expect excellence? What's wrong with that? The individual who follows Let Us Worship, he's on staff with them. He's a fantastic videographer. He does some incredible work. I highly respect him. Shouldn't we want that? Do we really need to produce Christian media that you're like, oh my gosh, the only reason I'm watching this is because I'm a Christian. This is painful. You remember the old Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe that came out? It was awful. It was so bad. It was like a BBC production or something. It was so bad. And we were all watching it as Christians because, like, we love C.S. Lewis. We love the Narnia series. But this is really bad. Look, we all celebrate the fact that some of these wonderful movies are coming out that have a Christian message. You know, Jesus Revolution was so well done. Shouldn't we want that? We have the technology. We have the cash inflow to produce things like that. So why not produce something that is compelling, something that excites the base? What's wrong with that? Why would you fault us for something like that? All right, and he goes on and he's talking about Jay Koopman, who is the pastor, of course, that travels with Let Us Worship. And truly, he's a pastor that really wants to reach the sheep. I know Jay personally, just like I know Sean personally. And I can tell you, these individuals aren't in it for the fame. They're not in it for the money. These are individuals who God has placed in a position where they have an outreach. They have a ministry that connects with thousands and thousands, millions of people, not just in America, but all over the world. And so once again, what's wrong with these individuals? When you look at the secular world, you're seeing all these individuals who are stars, are celebrities, and we worship them. And yet, they try to throw that at Christians, and we don't worship anyone other than God. And these are tools of our Lord and Savior. So we're not worshiping Sean Foyt, we're worshiping Jesus Christ. The music that he brings is not about him. It's about redemption and salvation. It's about realizing that we as people are separated from the Lord through sin. And our relationship with Jesus Christ is what brings us back from the wages of sin, which is death. That's what this is all about. And I got to move on from this because there's a lot more that I need to discuss. But this article is interesting, to say the least. And I would encourage people to actually go here, at least for this article, just to read it. He talks about the fact that Charlie Kirk with TPUSA Faith has waded into the Christian community, that before this, it was just really going into the colleges, the universities, and trying to offer a space for conservatives to congregate together, to be emboldened. And he talks about the fact that, you know, Tucker Carlson made an observation that there was a slow genocide against Caucasians in the United States. And I wanted to play a video to prove just that, because that's exactly what's going on. Okay, there's... And hold on, I'm going to play the video and then I'm going to address it. So Chris, go ahead and just play that video for me so that people can watch the way two different people groups view themselves. Go ahead.
I am proud to be black.
So this is all black people. And they're standing in an empty room and they have a line. And it's middle of the road, and then agree, right, disagree, yeah. Strongly agree. And every single black individual in this moves over to strongly agree. And they're all proud of it. And now they bring in the white people. I'm proud to be white. You can see it on their faces. Many of them move right over to disagree. Some are saying somewhat disagree. And we got two ladies in the middle. And one finally moves over to somewhat agrees.
I almost went there too. It's like,
I think, like, guiltily, like, I'm, like, happy that I'm not oppressed, but I'm not proud of, like, things people have done in the past.
When I think of being proud of something, I think of something I worked for.
I am proud.
All right, go ahead and stump that. So do you see the problem in this? It's because of the education and the propaganda that has occurred throughout this country for a very long time that we now have reactions like this. I would expect people to be proud of who they are culturally. I would expect black people to move all the way over to strongly agree. And I would expect the same from Caucasians as well. I would expect the same from Asians and from Latinos. Right? We should be proud of who we are and what we've built and the things that we've engaged in as a culture. But more importantly than that, what if you asked those same individuals, are you proud to be an American? Most of them would say strongly disagree. Because that's the propaganda. And America is the most unique nation in the world because it's not on race. You can't go and say, I'm South African, and you know exactly who they're talking about. You can't say, I'm Irish, and you know exactly who they're talking about. Americans, we're the melting pot. It's an idea. It's a concept. It's not a race. And things like this have degraded that because they want to keep us separate. That's exactly what's going on here. It's a very huge problem within society as a whole that we've come to this point where we can't be proud of who we are and what we've accomplished. I know I am. And I know I haven't had any help along the way. Sure, you get parents, obviously, that are helping you. But it's not the government. It's not some Bill Gates philanthropist that has come out and assisted me as I built what I've built. Every single one of us has that capability because we're Americans. And because we're Christians and God may bless us. But that's not a guarantee either. He continues on with the article, returning back to what Range is talking about, and he's going through and he's talking about the differences between Christianity, and he interviewed me, and he's asking about these situations that arise with wanting to create a Christian theocracy. And I assured him that that's not at all what we want. And I don't know how many times I have to reiterate this, but as Christians and as patriots, that's not at all what we want for our nation. We want to see a return to the original intent. And what is that? That's representative government. A government that represents all people, where we have laws that have been established to protect every individual out there. Laws that limit what government can do so that the people can be successful. The left always tries to claim that Christians, if we were to regain power, that we would pass all of these laws that would make their behavior illegal, that potentially even the death penalty is on the table for some of these behaviors that we believe are abhorrent. And don't I have that right to walk in my faith, to believe that homosexuality is wrong? It's a sin against God? Don't I have that right to believe that life is a precious gift from our God and that we need to protect it? Look, there is absolutely nothing wrong with a government, a representative government, that passes laws that protect life and liberty and property. There's nothing wrong with that. But for a communist, for a Marxist, for a socialist, for a Satanist, because all of these belief systems have one thing in common, and that is from its origins are from hell, that they are satanic, they have to oppose it. He asked me about what a church, what it would look like if Christian nationalists, once again, got into power, and the laws that would be passed against homosexual marriage. And of course, the answer is government isn't involved in marriage in the first place. It's up to the church. And that's what I tried to explain to him. It's the church that gets to decide whether they're going to follow God's laws or whether they're not. And it's a free market of ideas. You see, if a church decides that, you know what, we just believe that love is love and we're going to marry whoever. And if the free market says, yeah, we agree with that, then that church will succeed. But if Christians band together and say, no, God's law is clear here. His written word is clear. We don't engage in marriage between a man and a man or a woman or whatever else now on that gender weird spectrum. That's what it comes down to. So the solution is the free market. And if Christians gain power politically, we're not going to oppress you because we don't believe in that. We believe in free will. We believe that God has created us in his image, and so that each one of us has to make a choice. And I can lead a horse to water, but I can't make him drink. That's what it comes down to. He also points out in the article, and this was probably the funniest thing in the entire article. He says we passed out communion like sacred Lunchables. Sacred Lunchables. That's a fun idea, isn't it? Can you zoom in on that at all, Chris? Sacred Lunchables. That's right. We've got sacred Lunchables. I'm gonna partake. That sounds delicious. Doesn't that sound delicious to you? So I've got my sacred Lunchable here. I haven't had one of these in I don't know how long. Look at this. Look at this meat. You know, this probably is that pink slime stuff that I had on one of my previous episodes. But you know what? In the sake of having fun, I can't even separate this cheese, dude. This is like a block of, I don't even know what this is. This is disturbing. Anyway, in the sake of having a little bit of fun with this article, I'm going to put my very life at risk by consuming this pink slime and probably plastic cheese. Definitely not a gluten-free cracker. But anyway, I'm going to partake in this sacred Lunchable in honor of you, my friend at Range. So I kind of wish I had a napkin to spit this out in. That is awful. I tell you this, communion is a whole lot better than that. He also got me something called bug juice. I don't know what... That can't be healthy either. Look at the color on that. But seriously, people, what would you expect from a secularist when you look at communion, somebody from the outside world that doesn't understand what this means, that for us, because God gave it, or Jesus Christ gave a commandment, that we should engage in communion, that the bread is his body, the wine is his blood. For the secularist, this makes no sense. It sounds strange to him. But for us, when we partake in this, we're in communion with God himself. And it's a beautiful thing. So why shouldn't we engage in it? Why is it that, according to the secular world, every other faith out there can engage in the activities that they consider holy? But for Christians, they mock us. They call them sacred lunchables, things of that nature. For me, it just makes me want to engage harder. Oh, you don't like communion? Oh, you don't like when I take my faith and put it outdoors and show up at state capitals? You know what? I'm going to do it even more. And you can expect that from Christians, from patriots, people just like me that are engaged. You're going to engage that much more. Because if it's making you, you secular leftists, you satanic globalists, uncomfortable, then I know I'm doing a job well done. And I know that when I get to heaven, the Lord is going to say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You see, I truly believe that I have been called into the ministry of politics. I believe it's a ministry, and I believe we as Christians have got to engage there. And so because of that, I'm going to live out my faith every single day. And when it makes you uncomfortable, good. I hope that you look at it. I hope that you look at what we're all doing. And as you write about it and try to understand what exactly is this thing, I hope that that journey for you ultimately leads you to Jesus Christ. Because there's been so many stories of atheists, individuals who hated Christianity, who went out to prove that it was dangerous or that it was wrong, and ultimately came to a relationship with Christ. So as I close up, let me just give you a warning to the left that watches this show. Tread carefully. You might just get saved. Church and State is sponsored in part by Patriot Church and the Constitution Party, empowering you to put faith into action. And with that, Church and State is out.
Welcome to the fire.